Hey guys, welcome to episode one of the Sophie May Fitness Podcast. I'm Sophie, my last name's May, it's not hyphenated, which everyone always thinks. And today I wanted to just basically go through who I am, how I got into fitness, how I got into the women's health space, my journey with my own, sort of fitness journey and nutrition, weight loss, whatever. I've been through quite a few different things, and as much as it was not pleasant, it's definitely taught me a lot over the last sort of 6-7 years, and it's led me into the coach that I am today, and it enables me to work with so many lovely women and help them achieve the goals that they want to. So I guess the first thing that I would sort of go through is, how did I get into fitness? How did I become a PT? So I remember when I was about 14, I think I was quite young. I wasn't super overweight, but I guess I was like a little bit chubby. I definitely didn't really eat that healthy. You know, when you're a teenager and stuff, you kind of, you know, like Maccas and, you know, food is enjoyable, donuts and chocolate and all that kind of stuff. So I definitely wasn't the healthiest kid. I wasn't super, super overweight, but I guess I felt uncomfortable with how I looked. I always felt like the overweight friend. I used to be sort of, I guess, like jealous of my friends that weren't. And I kind of was, I think I just sort of got into Instagram. And I think this was the time where Instagram was becoming a lot more popular among everyone at school and stuff, because I was obviously in school. And, you know, social media was becoming a lot bigger. Facebook was the thing for a couple of years, and then Instagram became kind of like the new social media thing that everyone was on. So I joined Instagram. I can't even remember how I came across it, but I came across a trainer, and I don't want to name them, and they were selling fitness programs, showing all their results of how women went from kind of being similar to me or how I felt and getting abs and getting really fit and looking pretty skinny, to be honest with you. And I thought that was incredible. So I was looking into it all. I was like, wow, these people are doing these 12-week programs and they're getting abs by the end of it. They're doing these meal plans. Just training from home. I didn't even have to join a gym because, you know, when you're 14, you can't join a gym unless you train with a parent, I think. So I was like, awesome, I can do it from home. I can do this meal plan, whatever. I remember my mum saying to me when I was saying to her, because I obviously needed her card details to buy this plan. I said to her, I was like, oh, look, I'm just getting this, look at this plan. Like, I'm just getting it, you know, to get into some exercise and stuff. And I think at the time I was playing football, soccer, and doing some sport at school and stuff. So I showed her this plan that I wanted to buy. And she said to me, I remember quite clearly, she said, I don't want you losing too much weight. Like, you don't need to, you know, because she was obviously looking at the progress photos that I was showing her. She's like, I don't want you losing too much weight. I was like, no, I'm just doing it to be healthier and, you know, just get into exercise and be fitter and stuff. So she was like, yeah, yeah, okay, cool. Anyway, I did this exercise plan and this meal plan, and I kind of went from 0 to 100 pretty quickly. I was training from home, doing this plan, following it, you know, step by step, doing everything it told me to do. Following the meal plan, you know, I ended up going from sort of being pretty relaxed with food to being quite obsessive. I was tracking my calories. I think I was eating quite little, maybe like 1200 calories a day. And I lost about 15 kilos in like 3 months, I think. I dropped weight extremely fast. And I was training a lot. I think I was exercising, you know, it started off as just sort of like once a day, and then it became twice a day, and it became sort of HIIT training, list training, workouts. It kind of became all of these things at once. And I dropped about 15 kilos in 3 months. I was sort of constantly weighing myself, looking at the scales dropping. I wouldn't let anyone else touch my food. I made sure that I followed everything, you know, step by step, and I got really sort of OCD about it. So I ended up kind of continuing on with this because I got so invested in it, and I received comments from people like, oh wow, like you look great. I think I did this plan for a solid year. So by the 6 month mark, I had shredded abs. Like, I was super lean, but I couldn't see it. I had a fitness Instagram as well that I was documenting the journey on, and I'd post photos of my abs all the time because I had a six pack, and that was in trend for women in that stage. It was so like the trend in that sort of year or that time, this is obviously about, you know, like 8 years ago, I think, was women being skinny. It was women with shredded abs, like a full six pack. It was women with thigh gaps. It was the hip bones showing. It was being really skinny and doing loads and loads of cardio and eating like super clean. And that was kind of like the trend at the time. So yeah, I had abs. I lost a lot of weight. And I was never happy with how I looked. I was constantly wanting to lose weight. I was constantly trying new diets. I think I tried so many diets in that stage. And bear in mind, this was between the age of like 14 and 16. So I was really young. And I remember I tried like a paleo diet, a raw diet where I only ate like raw foods. That was such a trend back then. Low carb. I think I tried clean eating where I cut everything out. So I tried a lot of different things and yeah, I was super skinny. When I looked in the mirror, I didn't feel skinny. I had, you know, probably quite severe body dysmorphia. So when I looked in the mirror and I saw myself, I didn't see myself as what I actually was now. I would still see myself, or in that present time, I should say, I would still see myself as being what I was sort of like 6 months before. So I was never satisfied with how I looked. And if anything, I was actually worse because I was constantly worrying about making sure I've got all my exercise in. I would get up before school at like 6 a.m. to do it. I would, you know, exercise or do my workout and then I'd go to football training and then I'd do sport at school, or I'd get up and go for a walk and then I'd do a workout after school. Like I was doing a lot of exercise and I don't even think I had rest days at this stage. I didn't know what a rest day was at that kind of stage of my journey. And I was following a lot of people on Instagram, like Fitspo kind of people, and that was sort of like the trend. So yeah, I think I was heavily invested in, you know, being skinny, having abs, clean eating and all this kind of stuff. And it took me on a pretty crazy journey. This is where I kind of get into more of my health things. So I ended up having hypothalamic amenorrhea, which for those who don't know is where you lose your period and your menstrual cycle for 3 months or more where no other issues have been diagnosed. So we obviously have to rule out things like PCOS and stuff like that for missing cycles. So everything was, you know, fine. I'm putting this in quotation marks, normal, no PCOS or anything, didn't have a period or a menstrual cycle for about 2 years, which is quite low for some women. And I basically didn't think anything of it. I thought it was great. I thought, cool, I don't have a period, I don't have to worry about it. This is amazing. All my friends at school were like, oh, you're so lucky you don't have a period. Like, you know, it's so cool. And we were so young that none of us understood how bad that was or why it was happening. My mom was obviously sort of worried. She was very like, you know, on my back about what I was eating and stuff. And she was obviously worried, but you know, being stubborn in that kind of mindset, you're very tunnel vision. And I obviously sort of wasn't listening. It probably made things a little bit worse. If someone had sprung eating out on me, I would freak out. I was very much sort of in a disordered eating mindset. And I was in this place for quite a while. So I basically had a really bad relationship with food. I would eat clean, I'd cut everything out. I'd be scared of eating anything that was inherently bad, and not for a health reason, but for making me fat kind of reason. I was worried that anything I ate that wasn't remotely healthy would make me gain weight. So I wasn't really focused on eating healthy food for health. It was more because I didn't want to gain weight. So yeah, there was a lot of issues there. And then as I was kind of coming, so I kind of got to a stage where I was really, really skinny. I obviously didn't have a period. I had a really bad relationship with food. So long story short, we'll cut through a few years. And then I believe about 2 years later, I was still pretty slim. I remember someone's parent telling my mom, like, oh, don't you think Sophie's taking it a little bit too far? And she told me, and I thought it was a compliment. So when you're in this mindset, you don't really see stuff like that, because in your head, you still feel like overweight. You still feel like you're in a bigger body. So in my head, that was a compliment. I was like, wow, like someone thinks I'm like skinny. Like, wow, okay. Like someone thinks I've taken it too far. God, I must be slim. So I thought that was a compliment. So that kind of just fueled the fire a little bit. And then as Instagram trends were changing, so I was probably more kind of about 16, 17 at this stage, Instagram trends were sort of changing. So I kind of lost my period for 2 years, lost a lot of weight, skinny, exercising a hell of a lot. I'm talking 2 or 3 times a day and getting to the point where I was sort of exercising after eating anything bad, sort of, you know, very, very disordered with my relationship with exercise and food. And I haven't probably even touched the brink of it. There's probably a lot more. So I got into a stage where I would eat clean Monday to Friday. And then we kind of got introduced to these things called cheat meals. So Instagram world was all talking about cheat meals and how they were beneficial for your metabolism. Because, you know, if you had a cheat meal, it would reset your metabolism because you're eating more and all this kind of, you know, BS stuff that we know now isn't true. And this was such a big trend back then. So as you can see, I was kind of growing up with the trends of social media, which probably isn't a good thing. I feel bad for sort of people my age now with social media. But yeah, I was kind of growing up with trends. So I sort of was, like I said, following these people on Instagram. I got into kind of following like women who were lifting weights and stuff like that. Bear in mind the weights that I was lifting before were like 3 kilos, 5 kilos. Like that was kind of like the maximum I'd kind of lift. It was very, very heavily cardio based. So I got into this stage where it was like, okay, you can have a cheat meal. Just, you know, eat good during the week and then have a cheat meal on the weekend. Like have a free meal. It was like, oh, this is awesome. So I'd eat clean Monday to Friday, probably even, I can't really remember too much. I'm guessing it would probably be 6 days of the week. And then 1 day of the week, I'd let myself pretty much, I'd call it a cheat meal, but I would binge hardcore. So I would eat clean. And then what would happen is I would have this cheat meal on the weekend, usually a takeaway, usually quite a lot of food. And then I'd always have to have sort of everything because what I was doing was I wasn't allowing myself to have anything during the week and I was saving for this one meal. So I was like, okay, I'll eat clean and then I've got my cheat meal on the weekend. I can eat whatever I want. This was basically just a cover up for binging. And I ended up, this is what took me into a really bad binge restrict cycle. So I went from kind of like eating clean, disordered eating, low calories to pretty heavy binge eating. And that was probably, I would say, the lowest time of my journey. I felt awful at that stage. After a binge, I felt so ashamed. I never sort of purged or anything, but there was definitely the urge to do so. I never purged in the way of vomiting, but I would sort of go and do like a workout in my room or something because I was like, oh my God, I need to burn off this food. So I got into a really horrible habit of, you know, being really good during the week, as I would say. And then on the weekend, sort of letting loose cheat meals, which was basically just me having a binge. Some of those times I would eat like a whole 2 liter tub of, or like 1 to 2 liter tub of ice cream, in like secret and chocolate and stuff like that, which now that I think about it is just insane. And it's really hard to explain binging to someone that hasn't been through it because you don't know that you're doing it. Like you kind of just, it's really hard to explain this, but you almost like don't have control of what you're doing. Like you can't stop. And then you kind of get to the point where you feel sick and you've already eaten 2 liters of ice cream. And you're like, oh my God, what have I done? And you don't even taste it. You're just shoveling it down. And that time for me was definitely the worst, even worse than the disordered eating that I had before, which was kind of just restrictive calories. The binging was definitely, probably the worst experience I've had in my journey because it feels like you can't get out of it. And it feels like every single weekend that you binge, and even if you don't mean to, like you don't plan to, you kind of just do. It feels like you kind of, after that, like the feeling after that is just something I can't describe. And that's definitely the worst place I've ever been mentally. So I got into really bad binging and I gained some weight from this, obviously further fueling my body dysmorphia and fear of weight gain. And then obviously felt like I needed to lose weight again because my weight was going up and I wasn't happy with how I looked. I would see photos and I'd be like, oh my God, is that what I look like? So I gained weight pretty quickly from the binging because, you know, I was eating a good few thousand calories on the weekends. I also got into weight training as well. So then as we were getting into the cheat meals trend, in came the if it fits your macros kind of trend. And I was like, wow, okay. I was like, so bear in mind, this was after the kind of binge restrict sort of phase. I was like, wow. So all these people, if it fits your macros, are saying, I can flexible diet, which means I can eat whatever I want as long as it fits my calories. I was like, wow, okay. So all I have to do is chuck calories, but I can eat whatever I want. So this was a whole new kind of trend for me. I was pretty shocked. I was like, wow, okay. So I started calorie tracking. And I also think I remember the whole thing of like, if you eat more, you'll lose fat. And if you eat more, you'll gain muscle and lose fat at the same time. And all this kind of stuff that was, you know, when you're young, you take on board things and you kind of just, you're exposed to so many opinions. And yeah, when I say I've tried everything, I literally mean it. So I got into flexible dieting, if it fits your macros, blah, blah, blah. So that meant I was tracking calories, but I was actually, being a lot more flexible with what I was eating during the week, as long as it was fitting my calories. So this was the first step in getting me away from the binge restrict cycle. So I was tracking my calories, eating some bits and bobs during the week that I wouldn't have normally let myself have. I kind of came into a flexible dieting, lifestyle. And this did help me with the binging. I'm pretty sure I sort of faced, honestly, like it's really hard to talk about this because it's almost like a little bit of a blur in those few years of my life that I almost don't remember everything. And it's really hard to imagine that that was actually what I was like. So from memory, I think I kind of phased out of the binging. And because I was flexibly dieting, I was like, oh, well, I don't feel the need to have a cheat meal because I can have it whenever I want. I don't need to binge because I can have what I want if it fits my macros. So that was the kind of mindset I was in, which was perfect at the time for what I needed. I needed to know that foods weren't going to make me fat. I needed to know that individual foods, like, you know, things that we would label as junk food, individually weren't going to make me fat. I needed to know that I could have these foods if I fancied them from time to time. And I needed to know that I didn't have to binge all the time and I could have these foods throughout the week and it would mean that I didn't feel the need to binge on the weekend. So I was getting into weight training, I was getting into calorie tracking. And then onwards from this, I guess this would take me into about the age of 16 or 17. I believe I got my period back at the age of maybe 17, I think. I think I lost it about the age of 14 to 15 and it came back when I was 17. I think I was in my last year of school and my period had come back naturally. I didn't go on the pill or anything. This was naturally. And the reason it came back was this. I increased my calories. I was obviously flexibly dieting at the same time. I don't think I was eating terribly, but I was, you know, flexibly dieting. My calories were higher because I remember the whole reverse dieting thing kind of came in trend. And that's what I was sort of, I think I was trying to do, was eating more calories, sort of like maintenance level and weight training. And I obviously reduced my cardio. I wasn't doing HIIT training. So the stress on the body was a lot less. And my period did eventually come back. It was quite regular. I don't remember having irregular cycles, which I was quite lucky because I think I was sticking to those higher calories and the weight training for quite a while. Period came back. It's still regular to this day. I haven't had any other issues, but a lot of people kind of get the period back and then go back to what they were doing before, which is something we can't do. We have to let it come back regularly and support your cycle. And I think because I was sort of eating a higher amount and I think I was eating quite a lot, probably like well over 2000 and weight training and no cardio and stuff like that, except for probably like a little bit of walking and stuff. It sort of was regular and it came back. And then that's how I kind of got into being a personal trainer. I was getting into weight training. I was flexibly dieting. I think in this stage I was a little bit sort of, I think I lost a tiny bit of weight sort of, probably just more like, I guess, fluffiness from not binging because I probably wasn't eating actually as much as I would have done if I was binging. Like when you binge, it's very easy to consume on upwards of sort of like 4,000 calories in a day. So I think I was probably eating a little bit less, even though I was at maintenance. I think I dropped some body fat. Like, again, I can't really remember too clearly. I think I was a little bit leaner. I was almost like a skinny fat style. So I think I was still holding like a little bit of fat, which my body needed because I'd lost my period. My body needed to go through a period of holding a little bit more fat at that stage and just sort of getting health back, which I think I kind of knew when I got to the age of like 18. I was like, okay, I started looking into it more and stuff like that. And I was like, yeah, it's good for me to hold on to some fat. It's good for my body. And like I said, the trend on Instagram was changing a little bit as well. So the trend was moving away from being shredded to kind of having strong women lifting weights and not being super shredded and stuff like that. So I kind of grew with that trend. So yeah, and then from here, I knew that I wanted to be a personal trainer. And my main goal, I remember thinking when I was like 18, or maybe I was 17, I think, when I started my, I think I was 17 when I started my course, personal training course, was I wanted to help women get to where they want to be without kind of going through what I did for, you know, 3 or 4 years, and kind of being out, like, skip over that sort of experience. So my main goal is I want to help women sort of, you know, do what they wanted to do, reach their goals without going down the dark hole that I ended up going down because I sort of, you know, bought into meal plans and generic kind of cookie cutter guides, which is a reason that I don't like them now, just due to my experience. And yeah, so that's how I got into personal training. So I became a personal trainer at the age of 18, and I worked in gyms for about 3 years. I worked in Australia for a little bit, and then I went to the UK in 2018, 3 years ago, which is crazy. I became a PT, well, I was already a PT, but I started working as a personal trainer in a gym in Brighton, and I was there for 6 months, came back to Australia, was working as a PT in a gym again for about a year or so. So a total of about 3 years. And then I started getting into women's health. So I started off as just a personal trainer who wanted to help women just reach their goals and stuff. But when you become a PT, you kind of almost get entered into like this huge world of kind of way more information than you sort of expect to have. So I started off as just wanting to be a PT. I was like, yeah, I just want to train people, want to help women get to their goals, blah, 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 get into weight training. And then I started getting into women's health a lot more because of my experience with hypothalamic amenorrhea, didn't have my period for 2 years. I wanted to educate women on the importance of their cycles and why we need them and sort of not normalizing losing your period due to weight loss, because it's not a normal part of weight loss. It's a huge sign that your body is under massive stress. So this is where I got into women's health. And it's a topic that I absolutely love. I think our bodies are incredible, and I love helping women, you know, optimize their menstrual cycles, work through any conditions that they have or any problems, and educating others on women's health as well. And it's a huge, huge passion of mine. I would say a lot of it comes from my own experience with my own sort of menstrual cycle and menstrual health. And that's kind of led me into where I am now. So women's health coach, when COVID hit, I started working with clients online, and I purely work online with clients now, which is amazing. And I upskilled quite a lot through education. So sort of digging a lot deeper into the internal sort of world of the body, gut health, hormones, you know, metabolism, blood work and stuff like this. So this is kind of where I'm at now. I work with clients and I don't just train them, but I help them with their gut problems. I help them with their hormonal issues. I go through blood work with them, and I work with a couple of really great people in the field. One is called Jake Dolishol, who I mentor with, and the other is Jake Carter, who I'm on the Functional Medicine Institute, which is 12 months long. So I would say that I'm kind of more of a holistic health coach now instead of just a trainer, because my goal is to help people as a whole, not just on one aspect of their health, but their health as a whole. And I'm really enjoying that journey because the women that I get to work with are incredible. And it's so fulfilling to be able to help someone have a better quality of life and really optimize and sort of learn about their health as a whole as well. So that's where I am now. And my goal as a coach is still the same as it was, you know, 5 years ago. I want to help women get to their goals without going through exactly what I did and without kind of getting led down a dark hole that isn't pleasant. As much as it was a dark time in my life, it was a huge learning experience, and obviously we don't want anyone else to go through that, but it's led me into the coach I am today, and for that I'm grateful. And it means that I can help women avoid that too, and obviously no losing periods or anything like that. And I also help coaches understand the menstrual cycle and women's health to be able to help their clients better. I educate women on their own cycles and how to optimize them. So I would call myself now a women's health coach and educator, and it's something that I'm extremely passionate about and absolutely love. So that's kind of where I'm at now. That was my journey into fitness, being a personal trainer and a coach, and how I got to where I am today. I don't often speak about it. It's not something I'm ashamed of, because I want people to know that I can relate to how people are feeling. I've been through the fad diets. I've been through feeling overweight and not being happy with myself. I've been through being a new person in the gym. I've been through overtraining. I've been through losing my period. I've been through all these different things. And I do believe that this kind of helps me understand and empathize with my clients a lot more as well. So yeah. And one other thing that I wanted to go through too is basically just what to expect in this podcast. So episode one today was just mainly about getting to know me. I'm always open to any questions that you may have. I do sometimes talk about my journey, but this is probably the most in-depth that I've gone into it. Obviously, being able to talk for 30 minutes is a lot easier to go into it than one Instagram post. But yeah, I'm really, really open about my journey. So if you did have any questions or if you can relate to anything, please don't like hesitate to reach out if you did want to ask me anything. So yeah, that was episode one. So just getting to know me as a person, sort of like where I'm at now and how I got here, and sort of like my values, what I do as a coach, a women's health coach. And in this podcast, we are going to be talking about a whole load of different subjects. I've got some incredible podcasts coming up for you to listen to. There is women's health podcasts, there's gut health podcasts, nutrition, training, life in general, obviously a lot on the menstrual cycle and periods, dieting and fat loss, just a whole bunch of sort of topics that we'll be diving deeper into. And obviously my passion as a holistic health coach is optimizing people's health, and that's genuinely going to be one of the main topics of the podcast going forward. So I'll be having really, really interesting guests on to talk about their journeys as coaches, if there's anything they've been through, and sort of how they help clients with specific issues or conditions, and just general educational information, as well as a little bit of fun stuff too. So I'm really looking forward to having you guys on my podcast and listening. Don't forget to let me know if you do listen to any episodes and how you enjoyed them. If you have any suggestions for podcasts you would enjoy or you would like to hear, please reach out and let me know. I'm always happy to take on like opinions and on board and listen to what you guys would like to sort of hear. And yeah, make sure you tune in for the next few episodes. Thank you so much for joining me today, and I will speak to you all soon.